Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yesterday, we were discussing Canto 10, Chapter 37, Text 22. And we're going to continue. And that text, 22, comes at the end of a series of inspiring messages to Krishna by Narada Muni, who visited Krishna in Braja after his visit with Kamsa in Mathura. The purpose of his visit was to have Krishna wrap up his Braja Leela and go to Mathura. And he does it very diplomatically. He's reminding Krishna of his divinity, because in Braja he's absorbed so much in his pastimes with the Vrijvasis that that's to the side. So he's bringing that to the foreground and encouraging him to fulfill his promise to the demigods. He's doing it very diplomatically, but fulfill your promise to the demigods. And there's also, there's your devotees in Mathura and Dwarka, and they're very eager for your association. There's no Dwarka yet, but they're eager for your association. And the previous verse concludes that series or sequence of Krishna's pastimes outside of Braja. And then now this verse 22, he's circling back to where he started, the glorification of Krishna, in two verses, identifying Krishna's divinity and specifically his being the companion of the living entity within the heart of all living entities, fulfilling the desires of all living entities. And there's especially your devotees. So here's the translation of text 22. Let us approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full of perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity, since your will is never thwarted. You have already achieved all possible desirable things. And by the power of your spiritual energy, you will remain eternally aloof from the flow of the qualities of illusion. So there's a lot of commentary on Krishna being free from the flow of the qualities of illusion. Qualities of illusion means the modes. You're free from the modes, and by your association, you free others from the modes. And continuously, you keep others who are in your association free from the qualities of illusion. The illusion, we discussed that on Sunday. And then again yesterday morning, reality distinguished from illusion. So this verse 37:22 is commented upon in the prayers by the personified Vedas. It's an important verse. That's this, so chapter 87, the longest and most complex, philosophically complex chapter in the entire Bhagavatam. Text 14, where the Shrutis are having a conversation with the four Kumaras and other highly elevated personalities. The Shrutis said, text 14, victory, victory to you, O unconquerable one. By your very nature, you are perfectly full in all opulences, semicolon. Please, therefore, defeat the eternal power of illusion, who assumes control over the modes of nature to create difficulties for the conditioned souls. Oh, you who awaken all the material and spiritual energies of the jivas, sometimes the Vedas serve you as you sport with your material and spiritual potencies. And the commentary. This is Jiva Goswami's commentary. Having shown in two verses that the Lord is directly indicated by pranava, that's om, the leaders of all the great Upanishads of 28 varieties, which are expansions of the pranava, begin to speak in order to harmonize the conclusion of all the shrutis by delineating the essential qualities of the Lord while refuting condemned opinions not approved by the shrutis. First, they reveal their first cherished desire while joking in a way befitting a bard. Oh, Lord unconquerable by Maya, you must reveal your supreme qualities. Jaya, Jaya. Repeating the word Jaya, they indicate, quote, why do you not reveal those qualities, his supreme qualities? Answer, it will be detrimental to me to cause injury to Maya, who is the cause of variety in this world. The Shrutis then indicate, you have full powers because of your Swarup Shakti. So Swarup in all of this discussion, that's his form. And the form has powers, that Shrub Shakti. So because of his Shrub Shakti, he has all powers. Full of the highest bliss, Atmana. Maya is insignificant. Sridhar Swami says, quote, Maya has no effect on the master of a host of desires, of desire cows, of continuous bliss and knowledge. Narada has said, what's our verse? That's the same theme, text 22. Let me surrender to you, Bhagavan. You are the condensed form of pure knowledge, and by you are bliss itself. You have forms with many qualities. Something's wrong with the grammar there. Next paragraph. What is the proof that I have such Swarup Shakti? Reply. You awaken material and spiritual Shaktis of the Jivas, O Khan, in the material and spiritual worlds. You give Shakti to all the Shaktis. Since matter is inert and the operating of its shaktis is similar, to awaken them, you use your Swarup Shakti with spiritual form. Awakening the spiritual chit shaktis is also caused by the Swarup Shakti, since it is the shelter of all shaktis. Krishna's reply. You understand this by logic, but you cannot be the witnesses. There should be a direct observer of these Shaktis. They are near me. Those near me do not know the truth about me. They only serve me. To that extent, your words prove nothing. Reply, we Vedas serve you, who sometimes perform actions as a Purusha with Maya for pastimes of creation of the universes, and who sometimes perform actions in the form of Swayam Bhagavan with your Swarup Shakti full of bliss, Atmana, in pastimes of pure bliss. Therefore, defeat Maya. Paragraph. Actually, the Vedas do not speak using secondary meaning of words, guna vrittayaha. But in order to reject that idea, to confirm the truth, they directly speak about the Lord, mentioning his Swarup Shakti, by taking support of his various qualities. They, the Shrutis, describe him by calling him unconquerable, Ajita, by the special word in the form of his spiritual name. The Shrutis make him turn and face them. The reason they serve him, Anucharet, is bhakti alone. This is the conclusion brought out. Paragraph. The Shrutis confirm this. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, from Taittiriya Upanishad. The Supreme Lord is existence, knowledge, and bliss. Or, Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. The Lord is knowledge and bliss. Or, Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate, Svetashvatara Upanishad. The Lord has no senses and no body. Kata Upanishad. Tam eva bantam anubhati sarvam. All things shine because he shines. Kata Upanishad. Then Svetashvatara. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tatagaro tasyaite katitar yarta prakashante mahatmanaha. The meaning of scripture is revealed to the person who has devotion to Guru as much as he has developed devotion to the Lord, Svetashvatara Upanishad. So all that is, it's commentary on verse from prayers by the personified Vedas, and that particular prayer is indicating an appeal to the Supreme Person to dispel Maya, because Maya causes suffering for living entities, and the Lord is beyond the suffering. So this term swa maya ya, that's a phrase that's in text 22 of this chapter, 10:37:22. So there's a lot of discussion on what does that phrase mean, how to understand swa maya ya. It's his energy, but it's under his control, but he's not influenced by it. And he can overwhelm it. So this is now Bhagavat Sandarbha. That was Vaishnava Toshini, his 10th canto commentary. It's Ganesh Jiva. This time it's Bhagavat Sandarbha. And in Bhagavat Sandarbha, the whole Sandarbha is to illuminate that aspect of Krishna Tattva. That aspect is the Bhagavan aspect of Krishna. And it begins, so the first line is sets the stage, and then the rest of the lines follow the one. That is, the qualities in the spiritual world are described as Swarup Shakti, since they are non-different from the Lord's Swarup. Bhagavan. His Swarup Shakti is not different than Swarup, Bhagavan. That is stated in the following. So again, it's reference to chapter 87, Prayers by the Personified Vedas. The translation reads, the Jiva, contacts matter by the influence of Maya takes on similar form due to upadis and enjoys material objects. He thus experiences samsara. You, however, avoid the material energy in the same way that a snake does not identify with its skin. You know, snakes shed their skin. So that metaphor is addressed repeatedly below, but it's all to illuminate the first line. The first line is the qualities of the spiritual world are his Swarup Shakti. So then what's the material energy, the skin of the snake? What's that which doesn't affect him? Although it's his, the snake has skin. And Krishna has his Swarup Shakti. Excuse me, he has his Swamayaya. It's his energy, but it doesn't affect him. So how does that work? Because that's the prayer of Narada to Krishna. You know, go relieve your devotees of their fear of Kamsa and others and give them your sublime association because they're hankering for it. Okay, so Jiva goes on. The commentary says, quote, because the Jiva embraces avidya, because of Maya, he serves the gunas and the body and senses, mistaking them for himself. After that, he takes on similar qualities, sa rupatam, similar qualities as Prakriti or Maya, with the qualities like bliss covered, apeta bhaga. He attains samsara, mrityum. You, however, reject that maya, like the snake and its skin. Question. Maya is situated in me. How do I give it up? Answer. Just like a snake does not think its skin as himself, by thinking of its good qualities, so you give up maya, because you do not identify it as yourself. Paragraph. Now we're back to his Swarup Shaktis. The Lord's profusion of continuous bliss and knowledge is not produced by Maya. He is indifferent to it. Why? You have eternal powers, Atta Bhaga. You are glorious in your eight mystic powers. The powers are immeasurable. Aparimeya bhaga. Your eight qualities of power are not limited by time and place like the powers of others. They are unlimited because they are related to your complete Swarup. Then he circles back to the same verse as the earlier section from Personified Vedas, chapter 14. This is also mentioned previously in the same chapter, quote, by your very nature, you are perfectly full in all opulences. Another explanation of the snake is as follows. The skin refers to an old skin. The snake readily gives up that skin, just as the snake gives up the skin and does not go near it, you do not go near Maya. And then he quotes this text 22. The rendering from text 22 is a little different. Let me surrender to you, Bhagavan. You are the condensed form of pure knowledge and bliss. You have various forms with many qualities. Your desires are always fulfilled. Because of your Swarup Shakti, you are never touched by the material gunas. And in another place, this is, now we're reading from Bhagavat Sandarbha, elsewhere, Jiva Goswami has a different image. Same, it's the same verse, but he's rendering the verse to help illuminate a particular point. So here's his other translation. My Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances to your lotus feet. You are situated completely in the transcendental position of perfect knowledge and bliss. You are complete in yourself and are beyond all desires. By exhibiting your internal potency, you have set up the influence of Maya. Your unlimited potency cannot be measured by anyone. My dear Lord, you are the supreme controller. It is simply vain to think that you are dependent on any of your creations. That's his rendering of this 10:37:22. So now, adding to the Surup Shaktis are independent and the same as the Lord's form, he makes reference, several references to the Uddhava Gita section, where Krishna says to Uddhava, the masters of the yoga system have declared that there are 18 types of siddhi and meditation, of which 8 are primary, having their shelter in me, and 10 are secondary, appearing from the material modes of goodness. Interesting, huh? That's chapter 15 of Canto 11. And 2 verses later, text 5, the 8 mystic perfections of mine are considered to be natural and unexcelled. So he's Yogeshwara, and he's now indicating this. The Shakti of the Swarup is none different than him. Next, Prahlad says to the demons' sons, this is Canto 7, Chapter 6, this Supreme Lord, although having a spiritual form of pure knowledge and bliss, is falsely seen as an entity without powers because of Maya, which creates this world with gunas. Commentary says, quote, if the Lord were everywhere, everyone and everything should be omniscient. In answer to this doubt, it is said that his powers are covered by Maya, which creates the world with gunas. He's everywhere, but he's covered by this Maya, which is generated from his Surup Shakti, or enlivened by and energized by his Surup Shakti, otherwise dormant, just material nature doing nothing. But now it's doing something. Remote control by him through his spiritual potency. Same messages we heard previous. Commentary. One should understand that the Lord's powers, like his Swarup, are beyond Maya, though the verse says his powers are covered by Maya, which causes this world composed of gunas. Since before this, in 7:6:23, it is stated that he is the Supreme Lord, Parameshwaraha. Oh, what's the conflict? It's not seeing the Srup Shakti behind. The Srup Shakti behind gives life or energy or vitality or substance to the illusory potency Maya that covers his existence. It just covers the perception. It doesn't cover him. So he quotes Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Interesting. One unborn entity, satisfied, follows another unborn entity, namely a female entity who is red, white, and black, and who produces many offspring of similar nature, this material nature with the modes and generates creation. Another male gives up this female who has been enjoyed. Very mysterious, huh? What is the nature of Bhagavan? This is Bhagavat Sandarbha. The Lord has knowledge, power, and shakti. Svetashvatara Upanishad says, devoted to meditation, they saw the shakti of the Lord hidden in its gunas. The last sva gunai means by its own nature. His nature is beyond material words and mind, Vishnu Purana. The Shrutis speak to the Lord. So it's again circling back to that first verse that's illustrating the first point. And the point is the Shrutis are independent as is the Lord. They're non-different than him because they're intimately connected to him. And they do, that Srup Shakti does lots of different things. So to say that the modes or Prakriti creates the world is not wrong, but Prakriti doesn't do anything without touch of spirit. So to say spirit creates is right. To say Prakriti creates is right. You have to get the whole picture. Last section. Again, it's Bhagavat Sandarbha. And this is right on topic with text 22. Our morning discussion topic of Maya is far from him. He's not influenced by Maya. He is free from the influence of Maya, and he frees others from the influence of Maya by his presence. So please go to Mathura and free them from fear of Kamsa. So that the statement, the methodology of Jiva Goswami, he explains at the very, very beginning of Tattva Sandarbha. He makes a statement, and then based upon that statement, he's building his case that starts with, usually, a Bhagavatam statement. So you can say the Bhagavatam statement is just, he's extracted from that some essence. Not like everything essence, but some essence, and that's the initial statement, supported by the Bhagavatam, and then other scriptures, and illuminating what the other scriptures saying to support the initial statement. That's his method. So the statement is, material forms are rejected in the Lord. Other types of forms are described. Quote, 8.3.8, he who has no birth or activities, no name or form, and no qualities or faults, accepts birth and activities eternally by his Srup Shakti for creation and destruction. The meaning is this. Changing state is called transformation. The first transformation is birth. The attempts to produce, janma, the attempts to produce perfection in an imperfect being are called action. Interesting definition. The attempts to produce perfection in an imperfect being are called action or karma. The sound, which somehow indicates an object so that it can be understood by the mind for ordinary transaction, is called the name. Nama. The quality grasped by the eye is its form, rupa. Guna is a particular quality causing excellence of an object containing mixture of sattva, rajas, and tamas. These qualities are seen in the material world. They do not exist in him, since he is always situated in his swarup, is perfect beyond the mind, self-manifesting, and beyond prakriti. However, the Lord accepts birth, activities, name, and form. The statement continues. In the next verse, this is 8:39, I offer respects to Paramatma Brahman with unlimited powers, who is devoid of material forms, but who has many spiritual forms and astonishing activities. And then to support, so this is his method, he goes to the Upanishads, the Shrutis, from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. The Lord is without decay, without material activities, and undisturbed. Katha Upanishad says, the Lord is without sound, without touch, without form, and indestructible. Chandogya says, the Lord has all activities, all desires, all fragrances, and all rasas. Commentary. All qualities are actually false dosha, since it, or material nature, is all non-spiritual. But the Lord has no fault recognized in the world from Kurma Purana. Because of his endowments of powers, Bhagavan is said to have contrary characteristics. Still, the fault of birth and transformation, you got this definition of transformation before, can never be found in the Supreme Lord. But contrary qualities are found together in the Lord. Kurma Purana, he's the resolve or what's that word again? No, there's another one. Reconciliation. So there's another one. Anyway, within him is everything. And so he has no this and has no that, but he has this and that. At least it's his potency. But within his Srup Shakti, those things don't exist. But his Srup Shakti activates the external potency, and it appears to be, it can't happen without him, but he's aloof. It's a sambandha exploration specific to Bhagavats and Dharva. How does it work? Chandogya says, the Lord is devoid of all sin. And then it says, he is called full of good qualities. All qualities come to him. This attractive form is revealed in all the Vedas. Commentary. The phrase, sarva gandha, smell, means he is most fragrant. When the Bhagavatam verse says that the Lord attains birth, activities, and qualities, it does not mean that he attains the faults in those qualities, since that is contrary to Shruti, and the Lord is being established as the highest spiritual entity. And then comment. It is contradictory to say that the Lord has and does not have birth, activities, etc. Response. The cause of having contrary natures is explained. What's that? He attains this by his maya. Here, maya means his inconceivable sort of shakti by which he accomplishes what cannot be accomplished. One can say that birth activities do not exist in him, since his birth and activities are different from those of Prakriti. They arise from his Swarup. Now these are things that we understand as just giving a more profound and scripturally based and thoroughly thorough explanation. So I hope you're not confused. Commenting on Brahma Sutra 1.415, Shankara says, Sat is generally used to describe objects transformed by name and form. Brahma, or Brahman, which is Sat, is also called Asat, since before creation, name and form did not exist. Interesting, huh? We're almost done. Vishnu Purana says, Gunamscha Doshamscha Mune Vyatita. Or, the say, O sage, the Lord is devoid of good qualities and bad qualities. But later it says, Samasta Kalyana Gunat Makohi. The Lord is endowed with all auspicious qualities. If you don't have acharyas, you can get really spun out, right? And then further in Vishnu Purana, the word Bhagavan means to be endowed with unlimited knowledge, sense power, bodily strength, power of control, influence, and beauty without inferior gunas. You know, that's a definition of Bhagavan, six opulences. From Padma Purana it says, it is said in all scriptures that the Lord of the universe is without qualities. He is devoid of inferior qualities. The word, quote, inferior means material qualities. So now, full circle, back to our text 22 when we're done. Thus, swamayaya cannot mean anything except the Swarup Shakti. That is to say, it's inferred when you say swamayaya. It may make reference to the illusory potency, you know, the maya potency, the external potency. But the external potency doesn't do anything without the contact of the internal potency, so therefore on the higher level of understanding, swamayaya must mean his Swarup Shakti. So then concluding, text 22, let me surrender to you, Bhagavan, Narada to Krishna. You are the condensed form of pure knowledge, and by you are bliss itself, produces forms with many qualities. Your desires are always fulfilled. Then this last, because of your Swarup Shakti, you are never touched by the material gunas. That's this swamayaya. And thus, so by your Swarup Shakti, Those persons who are learned in the Vedas, they know lots of references here, there, and elsewhere. And those references here, there, and elsewhere seem to say contradictory things. So we know, in principle, there cannot be contradiction within the Vedas because the source of the Vedas is perfect. And so the knowledge is perfect. Therefore, we need some way to reconcile these contradictions. And all contradictions are reconciled. I can't remember the word. looking at it. Huh? No. Something else. But reconcile. Within him, all seeming opposites are reconciled. So if you don't have knowledge into cyclic succession, what are you left with? Speculation. We know, over and over, speculation can never bring any conclusive truth. So we need disciplic succession. And through disciplic succession, we can then have guidance to reconcile. Now, we don't need to be scholars. We can just accept, because my father says, that's sunshine. That's it. I don't need, all this rigmarole. That's sunshine. That's good enough for me. However, there are people that may say, wait a minute, that's not sunshine, it's something else. And what do? Well, you smile and say, sorry, Charlie, that's sunshine. But our acharyas are providing us with foundational understandings, sambandha gyan, because Bhagavad Sandarbha is part of the sambandha gyan section. There's three sections within the Vedas, as we know. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. It's in the Sambandha section. What's the relationship of all things? So, here Narada has a prayer to Krishna where he's describing Krishna is unaffected by Maya, which comes from him. And it's activated and animated by him, so please withdraw its influence. Please take away the fear of the residents of Mathura, of Kamsa, and the whole Yadu dynasty. And oh, by the way, there's many others, demons, and people have fear of them, then please remove their fear. That's one of the purposes of the killing of the demons. And he has the full potency to do that, because they don't even exist without him. The demons don't exist. They don't have potencies without him. And so, you've come to this world to relieve the earth of its burden. The world is from you. And the burden is from you. And, you just approved, you sanctioned, the powers of the demons. And now it's time to relieve your devotees and others of that horrible circumstance. But by doing so, it's not affecting you. This is Narada, and Narada understands the Bhagavan feature. He understands not just the sweetness feature, he understands the opulence feature and the combination of the two. So give happiness to your devotees and relieve this influence of Maya, and you won't be affected. I have no worries, nor do you. Let's just for fun. How does everything rest in the source of everything? So the Vedas have a whole science to this. No, close it. Close it. Yeah, close it. Yeah. The Vedas have a whole science to this. Other than the whole science to this, we're basically left with raw faith. The process of creation, because I'm little familiar with it. In Genesis, in the Bible, in 7 days, God created everything. And it was like, he just, bhavati. Let there be light, and there was, and it was good. Next. And so but there's a science to it. And so if there's a science to it, philosophically, if things that are bad come from God, then he's responsible for the bad. Because everything comes from him. So then you get, different ideologies that say, well, it comes from him, but it's not him. Without going through the different philosophies of how to accept there's one source of everything, the one source of everything is not responsible for bad stuff. It's a problem of having proper regard. So what's the real story? So the Bhagavatam gives this, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expands this understanding. That our Chintya Beta Beta Tattva understanding is not a term that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified. It's Jiva Goswami's term describing the relationship between all entities, not just Shakti, but forms of Lord in everything has a different and non-different relationship with him. And so how do you settle on that one? Well, you have to have scripture to settle on that one. And so that's what we're getting. If we want, in practical application sense, if we want to become free from illusion and the suffering that accompanies illusion, you got to go to the source. And the source has the power to remove illusion. And that's him. That's his Swarup Shakti that animates the illusion and can withdraw the illusion. We want his shelter, but he has the power to do it. So you can just keep it really simple. God created everything and go to God. And then be challenged by people that are, scientists or empiricists or something. Why do you have that belief? Well, because the Bible says so, or my guru said so. Well, what's the reason that your guru said so? Why do you accept what your guru says? Anyway, how do you justify this? So bhakti has its philosophical support, and by careful understanding of what the Bhagavatam's message is, this one prayer, text 22, unpack it, and it's really full. Although we can just read it with many other verses that are in the Bhagavatam and kind of nod our head and keep moving and not really understand what is being said. That's okay. There's potency within the verse of the Bhagavatam. And then to unpack it, then it becomes far more richer, and you hear the same verse again, and it's really packed, and so forth. So let's see if there's some discussion. It's 8:23.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Is that word resolve? All contradictions resolve in him? All contradictions resolve in him?
That's another word.
My question, Maharaj, regarding the illusion, though we understand many times something is not, reality or something is not appropriate, but still we are, I'm attached to those things, right? I'm trying to remember the Bhagavad Gita verse where Krishna says, even the person in knowledge, it's very difficult to give up something. Their second chapter verse it's very difficult for a person in knowledge also even to distinguish something like that. I'm trying to understand, is it just because of conditioning? I know that it's not right, but still I'm forced to do that, or forced to do it. So what is the...
Well, it's a two-way street. The conditioning is the one thing, and the grip that Maya has is another thing. There's a biblical saying that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I know what's good, and I know what's not good. I know what is to be done, I know what is not to be done. And I don't always do the good, and I sometimes do the bad, or what's not good. So it's weak. That's this weakness of the soul, and the weakness of the soul is the conditioning. But then, material energy is energized when the living entity has those kinds of weak spiritual desires or desires for what is right. So then we're under control. We're controlled by a powerful energy. We continue. So we need spiritual strength, and we need to make some sincere effort. We need mercy and we need effort. So your question is, why is it like that? And yes, we're conditioned, but it's also the material energy is very strong. So we're weak and the material energy is strong. That's why it's both sides. Our resolve is weak. Recognizing that, the material energy keeps us busy.
This question is from Mahamantra Prabhu. With regards to imperfect jivas interaction with the gunas resulting in binding karma, does perfection in this context refer to constitutional or innate nature of service to Krishna?
I think so. If I've understood the comment or correct question, it sounds right.
I'm having a question, Guru Maharaj. Is we hear about the modes, so the Maya manifests through the modes, is that...
That's what it says.
And then I'm wondering, just now we're talking about conditioning, but I'm also wondering about guna and karma. So, is it proclivity, the tendency comes into this guna? And I'm trying to understand those two words.
Guna and karma, those two words?
Yeah.
Well, illusion has variety, and that's the gunas. So you can make a separation of the word guna and maya, but illusion has variety according to the modes of nature. This type, the other type of illusion, but it's all under the larger category of illusion or maya, and karma is by my past activity, this feature of the material energy is coming my way. And it's not exactly over there is a bucket called guna and over there is a bucket called karma. It's just how a conditioned living entity or living entity under illusion has their deserve coming their way. And it's how they respond has to do with guna, and what's coming has to do with karma. Okay? I think we're done. More?
It's from Ruchira Mataji. Ruchira Mataji is saying that Maharaj is looking for the word harmonized in
yes.
the context of
yes, thank you. That's the word. It's another nice word. Mm-hmm. What's the one you use?
Resolve.
Resolve, harmonized. Okay. Thank you.
There is one question from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. If the personality of Kali weren't sent, would Kali Yuga wouldn't commence?
What's the question? If the personality of Kali wasn't sent?
Yeah, if he's not sent, then there is no Kali Yuga.
Krishna would make whatever arrangement he wants to make. He doesn't have to have that fellow. He can make whatever arrangements he wants. So it's a rhetorical question. If Krishna didn't do what Krishna did, would what happened be different? He can do it differently, however he wants to do it. It's a rhetorical question. Okay, Prabhupada ki jai.